Hello, and welcome to episode 26 of the Planning Period Podcast, your Ed Break Room. I'm your host, Brad Scheffler. This week on the podcast, I have something a little bit different. Like I wrote about in my last blog post, I had one of my assistant principals ask me about how to provide feedback without damaging the morale of the staff. So, to answer a question, we did an hour-long live stream on Voice Ed Radio with a few principals that I know across the North America area. And this is that live stream. So go ahead and sit back and enjoy the Planning Period Podcast, episode 26, the Admin Balance Panel. Hello, Voice Ed Radio, and welcome to a live panel edition of the Planning Period Podcast brought to you by Voice Ed Radio. Tonight, we're going to be talking to a group of administrators talking about balance in their roles as principals and assistant principals, and specifically focused on how they balance out the needs for building morale in their staff while also providing feedback to bring forward change in their schools. And this whole thing really came about because one of the assistant principals at my school, who's with us tonight, Mary Vetter, talked to me about asking this exact question. How do I do this with my staff? And in what any classroom teacher or coach would probably assume was a rhetorical question, I said, yeah, that's real tough. But I have to give Mary credit in that she pushed in. She said, no, like, I'm serious. How do I go about doing this? What do I do? Like, you've put effort into building morale with the staff this year, so I think you're the person to ask. And I'm like, well, I'm not the person to ask, but I know some people who are, and here we are tonight. So I want to start out by getting a chance to introduce everybody so that everybody knows who they are. And I think it's only fair that we start with Mary Vetter.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yep. We can hear you.
Okay. Sorry. Hi. First podcast ever. This is awesome. So this is my second year as an assistant principal.
We don't say school.
Right. No, I wasn't going to. I got that.
They joke around with me on Voice Ed that I present from a bunker somewhere in Florida.
I'm here with them and I still think it's true. Yeah, it's my second year. Before that, I was a teacher for 16 years, English teacher. So I have a love of instruction and pedagogy. I'm currently in a doctoral program for the executive educational leadership track. So I'm also working on a dissertation that will eventually have something to do with an organizational change, of course. And I think that a lot of the things that I've heard in discussion in classes, in discussions with teachers on my campus and on other campuses, there's definitely a feeling of low morale across the board in our society. Teachers aren't paid enough. Teachers have a lot to do. Teachers don't have enough time to do all of the things they have to do. And yet we as administrators have to work within those parameters and somehow continue to motivate and encourage teachers to keep making things happen for students. So I'm always open to suggestions and ideas of things that work and not just reading about them in organizational change theory books.
Perfect. I think that is well stated and is a pretty great lead-in to let us introduce our other guests. So I'm going to go to the one and only Derek Rodenizer.
It's true. There are very few of us Rodenizers around. Thanks for having me, Brad. Appreciate it. Mary, pretty impressed that you asked this question and pushed in to get some answers. So I'm excited to chat with you guys. I'm the academic director of my school in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, which can be loosely translated to a principal type role. I think this is one of the arts of administrating. We often on Voice Ed Radio are talking about the art of teaching and the balance of figuring out the X factors of it. And I think this is one of the big things in the world of administration and something I've put a lot of thought into and excited to dig deeper into it. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm really glad that you are here. And that is going to bring me to Brent Coley, our only other American guest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I am principal. I was an assistant principal for a couple of years at the middle school. I'm in year five as a principal of an elementary school in beautiful Southern California. where the temperature today got down to a chilling 63 degrees.
Ooh, we were about the same here in Florida. It's about the same. It's tough. It's a tough life.
Minus 10 here. Minus 10.
But that's minus 10 Celsius. That's like 62, I think, isn't it? Isn't that how that works?
I don't know.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Oh boy, I feel like I can't be on Voice Ed without making Canadian jokes. So that works out for me. And then our last guest for the evening is the wonderful and terrific Shauna Pollack.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Shauna and I am one of the co-founders, and the director and pedagogical coach, which is sort of our version of a teacher at Blue Sky School, a little independent school that just opened in Ottawa in the same city as Derek, as it turns out. This is my first experience as an administrator of a school, and it's a school from my own brain, so it's pretty interesting kind of bringing that vision to life and helping to train staff in what we're looking for and give them meaningful immediate feedback on what they're doing. So thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all of you being here tonight. I know this is not a normal thing, although Stephen would like to see us do this again. We'll see. We'll see how tonight goes, if I feel like that's something that should happen. But, you know, I want to get started. I want to dive right in and ask, and this is sort of one of the things that is important to me as a coach. I feel like this is a role I can help out a lot in, but I'm very curious how you all look at what are the ways in which you are building morale in the teachers that report to you? You know, Mary kicked us off and said that she thinks across the board morale is low. And I would tend to agree with her. So I'm wondering, how do you guys build morale in your own staffs as it is now? What are you doing now to build that morale? And I'm going to go to Derek first.
So many, many layers on this. And I don't think there's one answer. One of the, not to cop out or anything, but one of the things I just kind of want to caveat a lot of this stuff with is every school has a different need and a different culture and a different thing to it. And you have to be aware of that and how that fits. But, I have a strong belief in the silly, and I think that it is super beneficial. So I, have been known to walk the halls of my school in a chicken suit. And other assorted random things, goofing around with students and keeping the mood light. And I think that can't really be overlooked. The sort of smaller things of that nature. The chicken suit actually had some context. We were doing a fundraiser and we raised a certain amount of money. So I had to wear a chicken suit for the day and stood out in the backyard and held the door for all the students as they came in and went and gave teachers high fives and that sort of thing. But sort of consciously keeping the mood light and realizing that you're in a school and you want to create that sort of happiness and going throughout the day, I think is really important. So yeah. There's my beginning random thought.
Oh, I think that's a great place to start us out is keeping things light. And I'm going to lead right into Brent. What, Mr. Coley, what do you have for us, sir?
No, I totally just to tack on to what Derek was saying about, everybody likes to be appreciated. I mean, I don't know if it was a study I read somewhere, but it's like people drop out of the teaching profession because, and I may be totally butchering this, and I mean, if it's not true, then it's Brent Coley's study. people drop out of the, they quit because they don't feel appreciated. I think not just in education, but I think in a lot of different fields. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've never walked around in a chicken suit, but I've kissed.
Should give it a try, probably.
I've kissed a pig. I've been duct taped to a pole. I've run a lap in high heels because same type of thing. We met our fundraising goal and stuff like that. But I mean, keeping it light and keeping that spirit of appreciation, because I think too often we do appreciate people, but we don't tell them. We got a new assistant principal last year, Cassie Caldwell. She's fantastic. She came up with an idea of like a shout out board. So when our staff lounge, we just have a board where people can post-its and a little bucket of post-its and pens, and people are just writing post-its and sticking it on that board. So when people walk by, they are saying, hey, somebody appreciated me covering their after school parking lot duty or something like that. So definitely appreciation is something that we've really been trying to foster.
Yeah, Brent, I like that a lot. And it's one of the initiatives I've put forward from a coaching position at our school as well, is doing a similar shout out kind of situation. I want to go to Shauna with the obvious pressing question of, which would you rather see, Derek in a chicken suit or Brent running in high heels? I think that's the obvious question first. And then, also the morale thing.
I mean, I think a combination would be nice, like a chicken suit with high heels would probably be the way to go.
I was just thinking that.
I often just go back to the dictionary when I'm trying to like wrap my head around something. And so when I looked at morale, thinking about what we were chatting about tonight, it's around the confidence, enthusiasm, and discipline of a person or group at a particular time. And so building this, we are a startup as a school, and building this with a team has been just so crucial to find the right people who look at it as a startup. But keeping up the morale of our staff is absolutely crucial, because as a startup, we don't have a lot of money and we don't have a lot of resources yet. So the really important piece in that morale definition for me is the confidence. And so what I spend a lot of time doing with my staff is just reinforcing that we're building something together. We're building this experimental prototype school and we're all doing it together. So all of the voices are valued. And so we hold huddles as a group where we get together every day and we talk about three questions. And we've borrowed this from one of our wonderful supporters, Modern Niagara. It's a construction company, and they do three questions. So it's, what's some good news today? And you just go around and everybody shares that kind of in a whip. What are you working on today and what do you need help with? And it's been really powerful because, it really kind of levels the playing field for all of us. Like, we're all working together. We're trying to accomplish things and we also need each other's help. So I found that to be one really powerful, tool that we're using to build people's confidence and their kind of like devotion to what we're doing and their engagement and morale.
I like that. And Shauna, you come from such a unique perspective, so I really appreciate you having here. But I like that you're looking at it from a view that goes beyond just what a school is. I really like that. That's cool. And I think even in a non-startup school style or a non-dream school, as I would call yours, it's still a great framework and mentality to bring into our classrooms.
Yeah, we believe a lot of the stuff that we're doing is transferable, like to different contexts. So that's what we're always trying to do. So thanks.
Awesome. And Derek, I see you have your hand up for us, buddy.
I wanted to tack on to the appreciation thing, which I think was a much more eloquent way of saying it. Thanks, Brent. When you're in the principal role or vice principal role or assistant principal, as you guys are calling it, you get buried real quick. And I think it often happens that you have appreciation for staff, but don't necessarily show it in a way that's obvious. Mm-hmm. And so one sort of hack around that I've done is I have and maintain a box of thank you notes on my desk, and they sit there always. And I try to cycle through those as often as I can, because they're basically, without question, every single day, I thank somebody, because people are always doing stuff for me all the time, and I don't do it every day, but I keep it on my desk as a reminder if I've done that or not lately, and try to make sure that I keep doing those.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Well, before we move into our next question, which our next real question, I kind of have like a yes or no question for the three of you. And I think Mary has already answered it for herself, but would you say that in your personal schools, morale is fairly high, average, or low? And I think that's an important framework to set up as we go into our next question. So I'm just going to go to each of you real quick. Derek, high, medium, or low morale in your school?
I mean, I think it's high. Again, I'd like to point out that it's so hard to put a number on these things, right? I mean, you can have a low week or a low month or a super low day, but I wouldn't say that that necessarily means across the board. So I'm assuming you're talking about averages. I think I got a pretty good high morale.
I like it. Brent?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. He took my answer. No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect. Yeah, and Shauna?
Yeah.
We're really lucky. We have really high morale.
Okay, cool. I think I don't want any listener out there who is sitting in a where they wouldn't honestly, with a truthful lens, say that they have very high morale in their schools. I wouldn't want them to say that that's not a possibility. And I point this out because I genuinely believe that the three of these people are truly extraordinary people. I've had conversations with all of them here on VoiceEd and on my podcast and offline and on Twitter. And I think that they're genuinely passionate and driven people. But I think that if our audience is admin, that's something to keep in mind, because that is the kind of change that you can affect in your school. I genuinely believe that. And I think that's important to note as we move into our next question. And my next question is, how do you generate feedback for your teachers that doesn't compromise that morale? And that comes from the position of you walk into a classroom, you see an instructional practice that you maybe don't agree with or feel like could be improved or feel like could be stepped up a little bit. And how does that feedback process look for you so that it doesn't erode that positive morale that you've built up? And I'm going to go to Brent first.
That is such a good question, because just by the nature of our titles, whether it's principal, assistant principal, coach, I mean, just by walking into a room, for many/most teachers, I have found anxiety goes up simply because they feel, I remember when I was going through my admin program to get my administrative credential, one of the things that really stuck out was you're there to coach, not catch. But I think that so many teachers, because I think historically that's been the way it is they feel that that you're there to catch them and not coach them. So one of the things that I have really found to be effective is I utilize a Google form, which I started doing back when I was an AP at the middle school, a Google form that would just kind of help me stay accountable to who I was observing. And then we're talking informal walkthroughs, not your formalized classroom observations and things like that, but just popping in for 5 minutes. And what I do now is I've got later on in the show, I can give you a link to see, you can make a copy of this and see what I'm talking about or use it yourself. But it's basically on my phone that when I walk in and what I've found, let me back up for a second. I used to go in holding an iPad. And I found that didn't work, because an iPad in a teacher's mind, in many teachers' mind, is a digital clipboard. And I had teachers tell me that. It's like, oh, when you come in with the iPad, I'm like, what's he going to type? What's he going to? So it's like, I walk in, I just kind of interact with the kids, watch what's going on. And then I walk out and I can pull my phone out. And what I do is it's basically a pre-done form where I tap the teacher's name, what subject was going on. What was I seeing? Was there engagement? Was there student engagement? Was there technology being utilized? And then there's a spot for notes. And to answer your question, Brad, how do I increase that morale while providing feedback? I have chosen to use those forms. So what I do is I do the form and I don't even type the notes. I use the dictation button on my iPhone. So I just say, hey, just went into Joe's class. Joe, your kids were engaged in a math lesson. I loved that creative feedback that you were giving to Billy when he had that question. You totally stuck with it, and I love the way you were encouraging. Keep up the good work. I hit stop, and I hit submit. Here's the beauty. Are you guys familiar with Google Forms?
Yes.
Everybody? No. Mm-hmm.
There's an add-on called Autocrat. Anyone familiar with that?
Yes.
Yep. Let me use that.
Okay. So using Autocrat, basically mail merges. So when I hit submit on the form, it takes everything from the form and puts it into a nice template that I have put together, and it automatically emails it to the teacher. So the teacher, it's become the type of thing that when I walk into a classroom, when I leave, the teachers are now expecting their email to bing in a couple of minutes with feedback from what I saw. And the feedback that I'm choosing to put in those things is encouraging. It's positive. It's looking to build them up like that, to the point that a couple of weeks ago, two of our fifth grade teachers were in the lounge, and I walked through the lounge during lunchtime, and they said, "Hey, Brent, we noticed you came into our classes, but we didn't get the email." Which, and I hadn't. I'd gotten sidetracked when I left their classes. Something happened, and I was like, "Oh, you're right. Thanks for the reminder." So I went into my office, I filled out the form, and boom. But what that tells me is it's working because we're working away from that, "Oh, shoot, the principal's in my room." Mm-hmm. And now it's, "Oh, sweet, the principal's in my room," which means when he leaves a couple minutes later, he's going to send me a nice email saying what he liked from what I saw. And that has been, it's been a total game changer for me.
That makes sense. It sounds very similar to notes of appreciation or shout outs. You know, it's the instant feedback positive that they get that reinforces positive behavior, you could say. So it definitely makes sense.
Now I want to ask Brent, which you kind of hit on a lot of different things. So number one, you don't have the device in front of you as you talk or as you're in the room. So I think that's critical. I think the dictation helps in the sense of sort of getting an audio transcript and makes it maybe a little more informal. And I think the immediacy and only hitting on sort of a non-formal form. So even the Google form itself is not in whatever your formal observation matrix is. So I feel like you're kind of hitting on three different things. And I'm wondering if from your experience, you can say maybe which one of those is most critical to your success with it, or do you think that all three sort of have to work in conjunction?
I think the not coming in with a visible device is the starting point, because again, when I used to come in without even realizing it, again, they were viewing it as a digital clipboard. And the other thing that I forgot to mention was before, like when I got to the school, before I ever started doing this, I was very transparent in saying, "Hey guys, this is what I'm looking to do." So no surprises, no like, "Hey, this is what I'm doing. When I come in, you're going to get something. You're going to get some feedback. It's going to look like this," so that kind of, I mean, and that's a whole union issue as well, just to make sure that we're not violating any contractual issues or anything like that. But they have been so supportive of it because the feedback that I'm leaving is positive. Now, if there's things, and sometimes there are things, that some suggestions or things like that, I have chosen to have those conversations in a different forum, whether it's, "Hey, can we chat for a second," or whatever it is. But I've done those informal walkthrough notes. That has been a source of encouragement for them, because you can find something good in every classroom. I mean, if you can't, I believe you're not looking hard enough. so, I mean, and sometimes it's harder to look, but you can find good things in every classroom.
Yeah. And we ask our teachers to do the same thing with our students. So, I mean, I think it's only fair that we expect our administration to do the same thing with our staff.
Yep.
So thank you. I really like that. That's awesome. Derek, I'm coming to you. What do you do to provide feedback that does not erode the morale?
So first of all, I'm going to steal what Brent did, because that is a really awesome innovation on something I was kind of doing already. I like that a lot. I started when I was doing a VP. When I first started as a VP, I was visiting, and one of the feedback I got was that I wasn't visiting equally to people. And then so I started plotting it. So all of these informal visits, I literally had a staff list, and I would just put a check beside someone when I would drop into their class, and I realized they were totally right. And so having that visual allowed me to sort of keep myself in check and make sure I was going to each class. Because I think that's really important to people, not only that you go and see everybody, but people feel like you are seeing everybody in a similarly equal fashion. I like that add-on that you added, Brent, to giving that direct feedback. That's lovely. I think that one of the important pieces is that the visit from the principal can't be novel. It has to be normal. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that it's regular, and that will depend, change on who you are. If you're the kind of person that wants to schedule that into your calendar and you do, you walk around, you know, on certain times of the day, then that's fine. If you're the person that can regularly do that whenever you need it, that's fine too. But the classes and the students and the teachers have to be used to having you in. And I think graduating that is really important. So I agree with the device thing. Makes a ton of sense. The first time I visit someone's class or early in the year, I certainly don't walk in with my laptop and sit down. Like I would not do that. Like, that's going to be seen as really aggressive. Also for how long you go into the class, where do you go to the class? How do you interact with people when you go to the class? Like when you go, if you go into a class and expect that, nobody engage with you and you like there's a magical force field around you, then you're not part of it. Like you need to go in and be part of it. You're a principal. So you were an educator, you were a teacher before. So get in there and talk to kids. And, I set that expectation up with my teacher beforehand and they know that I'm going to take part of it and get involved. And I think that's appreciated. So once it's seen as regular, then it's no longer as intrusive. So it takes a while to break that down, especially if you've got a staff of people that aren't used to it. I was in a school where it was an independent school and the students, teachers hadn't been evaluated formally for a while, like 8 years, I think. And their previous principal hadn't really visited at all. So they were completely not used to it. So I had to do a lot of like micro visits, like 1 minute visits, 2 minute visits where just coming in and coming out and nothing happened. And you see that nothing happened. So it becomes normal. And then you can start to have, those conversations. I also try to mix up the way that I give my feedback. I like your form a lot and I'm totally going to steal that idea. But lately I've been sketchnoting, when I go in just as something different and modeling a different piece of pedagogy. And, people have been telling me that they appreciate, sort of seeing in a concrete fashion what I'm noticing and, but just to try how you're mixing it up and always give us something different when I come into class.
Yeah. Wow. I like, a lot. I really like your part there about going in and being part of it. And I feel like for some teachers that may set them off for sure. And like you said, it's something you need to get them used to. But I always, even when I do coaching observations, I always feel so weird walking into a room and the teacher just kind of nods at me and I sit in the back silently and I don't talk to anybody. I always feel so odd from an observer point of view. And when I was in the classroom still, the first thing I did was talk to the person that walked in the room. Like I would make a joke about the administrator or I would tell my kids, like, just ignore them. They just get paid more than me and don't do anything. It's fine. Don't worry. And like, I would immediately throw that out to my kids. And so to have an administrator sort of take the same stand, I love that. It's awesome. But also I like that you talked about mixing up that style of feedback, you know, sometimes doing one thing, sometimes doing another, because then it doesn't feel, sort of canned in a sense, maybe.
Well, when you start getting the role, like when people are more comfortable with having you in, it's kind of it's a neat way to show some different ways of doing something, right? Like I sketch noted for a couple of teachers who had never seen sketch notes. And so then they see it in application as relevant to them. And, you know, they start doing some sketch noting in class. Like it's a way to sort of show different observation techniques.
Yeah, and the sketch noting is definitely not my strength. I can barely note, let alone sketch. So neither of those things are my strength, but I like it. It's cool. I love the various formats. It's awesome. So, wow, we got some great ideas. I'm excited. This is cool. All right, Shauna, I'm coming to you. What do you got for me?
Well, so our staffing model, like I was sort of describing, is a bit different than the typical school. So our current staffing model has me working with three coaches who are trained educators who are they're sort of in it for like the apprenticeship and the learning. So the feedback is absolutely crucial. And as much as possible, we do the same things sort of with the adults in the learning space as we do with the children, just to kind of acknowledge that we are all learners regardless of our age. So most of the tools that we use with the child learners and the adult learners. So we do one-on-ones where kind of the direct supervisor sits with the other employee and or student, and talks about three things. We like to structure in threes. So we talk about it's sort of 10 minutes, the supervisor giving feedback to the apprentice, and then 10 minutes, the apprentice giving feedback to the supervisor, and then 10 minutes of sort of logistical kinds of things. So we found those to be really, really great because we hold those once a week. And then people can kind of hold on to their questions until that time, and you can address those things in a really direct manner. We also use the same language in terms of giving like positive feedback and constructive feedback. So at Blue Sky School, we call them stars and planets. So stars, you probably like are familiar with stars and wishes. So stars are the positive things. And then we don't like the term wishes so much because it seems a bit more passive. So planets is our hilarious pun of planning it. So doing something to make it better. So we deliver feedback in stars and planets. And in fact, like our students have started asking for feedback in that way. And they spontaneously offer that feedback to us as coaches as well. And we just make sure like that the feedback that we're giving to anybody is noticings. So it's like observations without judgment, and then wondering. So questions like, I wonder why, you chose to react to a child that way. Like, what was your thinking behind it? So it's all about, you know, all of us learning to be really purposeful and think about what we do. And just the feedback is so crucial to our entire process of building this new school. So we're constantly seeking it from all of the stakeholders, from our community members, parents, students themselves, and mentors and coaches that work in the space.
Cool. Shauna, you know, you have so many things in there. Number one, I love the power of modeling, especially an instructional tool or strategy. And I love the power of modeling it with my staff. And I do a lot of that, but I love your twist on it in that we are all learners. So it's not that, like, I like the way you're putting it and coming from this sort of putting teachers and students on an equal footing. I really love that look at it. That is so cool. And, going further into saying, you know, the sort of the wonder, the I wonder if, I love that twist on the feedback. And I use that myself a lot because teachers so often on the teacher side will say, well, if they had stayed 5 more minutes, if they had stayed 10 more minutes, they would have seen. And the wonder statement, I feel like it negates that argument because it's like, I wonder if you were going to get to, or I wonder if we did X, Y, and Z. And then they can say, well, you're right. That's exactly where I went 5 minutes after you left. You know, it puts it on the less adversarial standing, I feel like.
Yeah. It's also such a lovely open way to ask something in terms of like collaboratively solving a problem. Like it's been so powerful with my staff team, just talking about, you know, things that I'm wondering too. Like I'm kind of stuck on this thing and I'm wondering how to solve it. And then everybody kind of feels welcome and free to offer solutions. So it's a really positive kind of one on either way. And it results in more action and less judgment.
That's great. I really like that. That's awesome. I want to thank all of you guys. You guys are so awesome. You're sharing so many great things. And, I want to go ahead and, since Mary is the reason we're all here, I want to go ahead and throw her on the spot. And and she's over here. I will say this. I have to say this about Mary, by the way, because Mary and I are live in the house. Everyone else is online, but Mary is sitting here like feverishly typing notes as you guys type. So I will have the best show notes ever because I'm just going to ask her to give them to me and they'll be the best show notes for this on demand. It'll be great. But I do want to go to Mary and since she brought us all here and we've kind of hit the two big questions, I want to go to Mary and see where's your head at right now? And do you have kind of a generic follow-up question that you might want to ask our panel of would-be experts here?
Let's see where I am now. Feverishly typing notes, reviewing my notes. I'm digesting all of these ideas that are awesome. And I think the idea of collaboration that we just ended on, you know, this is collaboratively coming together to share what works. And I appreciate all of you for sharing those ideas, because even though I have a vast network of administrators to speak with in my district where I work, it's way better to get perspective from outside of your organization. Sometimes the breath of fresh air is just, I mean, they're all great ideas. It's awesome and simple, you know, very easy to do. It doesn't take a lot of money or resource. Anyone can use any of these instantly if they wanted to. So I appreciate you sharing them with us.
Yeah. All right, there we go. I just forgot how to mute my own mic. And yeah, I think that's, you know, it's been such a, it is really cool getting this outside perspective. And I want to go to Stephen Hurley, who's still hanging out in the back wings. And since he didn't get to introduce himself, Stephen is the creator and master and father of VoiceEd Radio. And I like to call Stephen my boss because, you know, he's a cool guy and I wish he was actually my boss. So let's go to Stephen. He has a teacher perspective on kind of what we're all talking about tonight.
Well, I'm not really that cool. According to my kids, I'm less than cool.
They're right.
But I like to think that I, father, that's interesting. Godfather, grandfather, maybe. Anyway, I took administrative school. I went to administrative school for the first part of a two-part series in my own teaching career. But I have to tell you something. I loved it when principals or administrators, vice principals, would just wander in and sit down and just say, I'm just here because I wanted to get out of the office. I'm just here to work with kids. And he'd pull up a chair or she'd pull up a chair and just get to work. You know, there was no sense of evaluation or assessment or even looking around. I mean, my classrooms were always a mess most of the time. I had a principal came in and cleaned my sink once. And that was kind of a little embarrassing. But I really appreciated just that ease of and that relaxation. I had one principal in my first year of teaching came in and said, okay, every Wednesday this term, I'm coming in and I'm teaching a course on government. I taught history. He says, I'm going to take that. And he did. He came in with his handouts and really he was modeling, for me. I took some of his points of view and his pointers, but it was the same with superintendents, that at one time were required to be in everybody's classroom, at least once a year. I used to drag my superintendents in from the hall and say, come on in. And see, and again, once they got in there, they were down on the floor with kids, and that's what I like to see. So it was a bit of a shift in the dynamic, but I could tell that they just liked being there, and that meant a whole lot to me. So I just thought I'd throw that out.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. I always like to hear from you. You always have great things, and I agree. I like when a principal just kind of pops in. That's excellent. Mary, you had a thought here.
Yeah, it just sounds like something that I've heard from several people. You have to put people first during the day and do your paperwork at night. And I think it's easy to get caught up in trying to get all of the paperwork things done when you feel like you have 5 minutes here or 10 minutes there. And then that sucks you into the vortex of an office.
Or just don't do the paperwork.
Or just don't do it. I'm getting all kinds of great ideas. I have to stop talking so I can type because I can't do both at the same time. But I think, it just reinforces that. The time that you spend with the kids and the time that you spend with your teachers, that's developing meaningful connections through daily interactions. And that's what it takes to not only build morale, but create a school community.
And I mean, I can't speak for any other school other than ours or, you know, our district at least. And I know it can be very easy for our administrators, and I assume administrators across the board, to lose sight of that. I think it's really easy to get lost in the other duties and the whatever your primary role is and things like that. It can be really hard to find that time to get in classrooms sometimes. And I think there's some cool solutions to that. So, and I think those are awesome. It is important to keep in mind that those relationships and getting in classrooms and talking to teachers and sharing those conversations is super critical. So cool. I love it. you know, I want to, I'm loving this so much. And I think that if I boil Mary's question down initially, the sort of the question that led us all here, if I boil it down, I think ultimately the goal that so many of us have is to see the kinds of change in education that we all know need to happen. And I think that's really critical that we start to see those changes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, while we're live on air or right before we went on air, they were doing Ed Chat tonight, and it was about seeing change and making those changes happen. But I'm curious about how we make those changes happen. And something Mary said to me today actually was, you know, maybe we're sort of going about this all wrong, in the sense of we try to make measured small amounts of incremental change that is palatable for teachers, but maybe we need to look at it more from the perspective of how can we make teachers be in a place or in a mindset or in a belief system or a feeling where they're more like, yeah, change is right. We need to see change happen. And so I think what I'd like to ask each of you is there something that you all or we all as administrators can be doing to make teachers more accepting of change and more willing to embrace change, as opposed to working on how we throw the change at them? And I think maybe can we look at that equation a different direction? I'm going to go to Brent first on this one.
Change is hard. Yeah. I mean, especially for people who've been teaching or administrator for a long, long time. The thing that one of my mentors taught to me and that I'm trying to do now in my school is just highly, highly encourage risk taking and just consistently, like when I'm going in, telling them, I love how you were and fill in the blank with something unconventional. So whether it's, I love how you had all your kids on the floor, even though they're fifth graders. Kindergartners and first graders aren't the only ones who can have a lesson by all coming to the front of the room and being on the floor in a small group. Letting them know that, yeah, 20 years ago when the principal walked in the room, a quiet classroom with kids in rows, compliant behavior is what they were looking for. But now just kind of over and over telling them that, hey, I loved how there was noise in your classroom, because there's a difference between productive noise, on task noise, and chaotic noise. So I just think when a teacher says, hey, I'm thinking of trying this, it's like, hey, if the answer is, would it be good for kids? Then the answer is going to be yes. So just over and over and over really saying, try something new. If I come in and it's not going as well as you would have hoped for, I'm going to encourage you and praise you. I love the fact that you were trying something new, because I would rather see an innovative, teach like a pirate type lesson that didn't go quite well than a boring, non-interactive, compliance-based lesson that did go well. Because number one, kids are going to like your out of the box type lessons more, and then you can refine that and you can make it better the next time. So.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Shauna, I'm going to go to you. I like to leave Derek last, cause he'll just sort of ramble on forever if I let him talk.
Oh, I will.
My staff and my students and I live in a world of change. The entire thing we're building is an experiment, and every day is full of change. And we're just trying to run the experiment with everything that research is showing us is sort of right in education. We're just trying to put it all together. So, they absolutely have to be comfortable with change to show up for a day at Blue Sky School. I know some things that work, in previous schools I've worked in and in previous groups I've worked in, and that I've really tried to make part of our culture is around like appreciative inquiry. So the things that we notice are the positive things and moving forward on those rather than pointing out the faults. And I liked what Brent was saying about taking risk and celebrating risk and celebrating failures and using that as an opportunity to learn and not as something to feel negative about. Another thing that's been really, really powerful in our process has been one of my coaches is currently doing her master's program, and she's coming at all of the stuff that's going on from a really interesting academic point of view right now. And what she's done for the whole team is she started a document on Google Drive that we all have access to that is the unlearning process. So all of the things that she sort of took for granted in her previous teaching jobs and her own education, and how maybe those don't always match with our ultimate goal of learning. And so she started to track those, and I think that's been a really positive thing for all of us in acknowledging change is in working with change is just acknowledging that it isn't easy and there are some things that we took for granted and now kind of how to look at those from a different perspective.
That's excellent. I love it. I am always about taking that from a different perspective, and I think that's great. I'm throw it all out and start over as far as I'm concerned. So, and that will lead me directly into Derek. Derek, what do you got for me, man?
Well, one of the biggest lessons I learned was something that Brent said, which was change is hard. And I had to learn that because I have a lot of weaknesses, but I'm pretty good at change. And I never sort of felt it difficult in my class. I was happy to have random people in my class. I was happy to have all sorts of things changing and ideas and thoughts and different stuff. But as Brad will probably point out, I'm not normal, and that's not the standard. And so I had to come.
You opened by talking about wearing a chicken suit. I don't think anyone is confused about your normality.
So I had to learn that. I had to realize that it's not about me and how I feel. It's about those who are around me. And I think that kind of applies to a lot of things when you're litmus testing stuff you want to do at your school. And I agree, the modeling is absolutely key, and showing that you're okay with change and understanding that you've got, I often reference my litmus test. So I've got a mission statement created with the teachers together about our academic vision, and that's the test. And we put ideas through. So if it's going to serve kids and it's going to meet this vision we have, then absolutely do it. And so try to model that from my end. I'm trying to add another layer to that recently in my practice, and that is really actively bring in teachers into the fold. And I mean, I do that certainly, but I've been trying to plan it into my PD plan. So we're currently doing a project right now where every teacher is going to have a half day release time where they're going to have a chance to visit two colleagues and go into their classes and observe. So they'll go into their classes, they'll observe, they're going to do some feedback to those colleagues, and then they're going to have some personalized professional development time where they've set some goals with me, and together we're going to connect them with some people, some of you folks, maybe, who knows, and some resources, and have a time for just personalized development. So the idea being, if teachers have a chance to get into others' classes, then they're going to be able to see outside of their walls and see some of the things that I see. Because as administrators, we have a different look. We get to walk into these different classes and walk in and walk out, and that's not the case for everybody. So it is pretty unique, and giving teachers a chance to see that, I'm hoping, will help them understand a little bit where they're coming from, or where I'm coming from when I'm talking about change.
Nice. You know, and I think that sort of instructional round philosophy, as we call it, is a great place to leave us off, because to me, there is no better PD. We did a set of instructional rounds with our entire school a few years ago, and it was, I literally heard a 30-year veteran teacher tell me, oh, I've never actually seen another teacher teach. And it blew my mind. I could not accept that as a reality. And so it was, and so many teachers told me it was critical. So I think, Derek, that is a phenomenal place to leave us off, because as far as I'm concerned, that is the best learning experience you can throw out there. And Mary's giving me the nasty eye because I took her summary from her.
No.
But I do want to go to Mary, and we're all here for you at this point. So tell me, we are almost an hour in. So where are you at? What are you thinking? What's your wrap up for us?
Well, I did just want to also add that we did instructional rounds, you and I did, with one of our departments. And I literally just did an observation today on a teacher who tried a new grouping, collaborative grouping method for the first time. And it went really well. It was awesome. And I can't wait. I'll be meeting with that teacher tomorrow in the post-conference. And I can't wait to give her the positive feedback on taking the risk. And, you know, and she got that idea from observing a colleague and from the discussions that we had afterwards, with her peers who also observed a lesson, you know, structured similarly. So I definitely agree with the power of, you know, teachers owning their own expertise and sharing that with each other and recognizing that within a school community such as ours, we have so many awesome teachers who have such strategies and who have such, you know, skill sets. And so for them to be able to see each other and to recognize that, and then to know that that's the person they can go to if they have questions about using a specific strategy. And really it's building that collective efficacy, just to throw out a few change theory terms, since it's kind of a automatic thing by now at the program. That's where I am. So it's validating to feel that something that I've known that was powerful as a teacher when I experienced it and then utilized it as a coach and then as an administrator, a strategy of sharing instructional practice through instructional rounds, that's something that's validating. So I feel like I am on the right track in terms of building morale through that. And, you know, just finally, I just want to thank all of you who shared your ideas and interacting with each other. It's a really cool experience for me. So thank you. And thanks for sharing them.
Cool. You know, I don't know that, I think this is the, I've told people before and I've talked about on my podcast where my show does not very often interact with my professional life. And so it is interesting on a lot of levels to me to bring Mary onto this show, but I can only imagine it is a different experience for her as well. And so, you know, I do want to thank her a lot for being the impetus of this, you know, making this thing happen. So I appreciate that. And I also want to say thank you all so much for joining me. I think that some truly tremendous ideas have been shared here, and I hope that all administrators will take the time to listen to this. And I mean, I guess at this point, if you've heard this, you're 53 minutes in, you've probably already listened, but still, I think it's a useful discussion we've just had. And I really appreciate everything you guys have done. And Derek, Brent, and Shauna, all three do a lot of other phenomenal things on the internet. And as I told them in the chat before I am about to go to them, like, they need to be willing to share out themselves. So please, 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 each of you, I'm going to ask you to take a couple minutes to share out who you are, what you do, and how the people listening can find more about you, because you all shared awesome ideas. I want to be all of you. I want to work at all of your schools. And so I think everyone else needs to have that information as well. And I know that Derek is always ready to talk about himself, so I'm going to go ahead and go to him first.
I feel like you're asking me to turn down the Canadian. Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah. Okay.
I first wanted to just thank Mary. I think it's really cool that you went this angle. I know it's kind of strange to plug in with a bunch of Canadians and some dude from California. Really appreciate that you did it and you asked the questions and you probed to get out there. I really, it was fun talking to you guys and got a lot of really good ideas. So Derek Rodenizer, and I'm running a podcast called Beyond the Staff Room. Also got a radio show on Sunday nights called A Word in Progress, where we break down different words in education and try to figure out where they're coming from, what they mean, while simultaneously trying to write a book on live radio, which is going quite slowly, might I add.
Well, you spent 2 weeks on Connected alone, so I don't really like the word Connected. So
I spent 2 weeks on learning. We spent, you should catch the one on Sunday. It was about no word in particular. But it was about what's really interesting. If you are listening to us in Ontario, Canada, or anywhere else you're interested, we're currently on Voice Ed Radio involved in a really exciting process where the Ministry of Education is receiving open feedback on how they're going to change assessment and reporting in the province. And we are having, over the next 3 weeks, on Thursday nights at 9 and also on Sunday nights at 9, we're having open conversations from educators throughout the province, and that's going to be submitted as formal feedback to the province. So I think that's really cool. And even if you're not in Ontario, it's worth checking out and seeing the process and seeing what's going on. I'm really passionate about what I do in education and podcasting and the radio. And if this is something that interests you, even in the smallest amount, if you think you want to be a guest or you think maybe you'd like to dabble in the art of podcasting, please reach out to me, beyondthestaffroom@gmail.com, and I'm happy to chat and discuss more.
Perfect. And I do strongly encourage you to check out Derek's show because it's super cool and it is a lot of fun. And they really just dives unnecessarily deep into words, and it makes me so happy. I don't use the word unnecessarily as a negative. It just makes me so happy. It really does. All right. And so Derek, thank you very much. And I would like to go to Brent. Brent, who are you? Where can we find you?
All right. Well, for anyone who's listening, I mean, if you're listening, then you're probably already on Twitter, which is where I've learned more since I got on Twitter than 22 years of organized professional development. So I am a huge believer in sharing. I share as much as I can at Brent Coley, BrentColey. And I do a podcast as well called Teaching Tales, which is just an informal time of every episode I have a different guest on, and we share stories. Pretty much every episode has a different theme. We've had ones like we've talked about today on risk taking, power of apology, things like that. So you can find that on my website at brentcoley.com. There's a podcast page there. You can subscribe in iTunes or Google Play. So taking a couple weeks off because of the holidays. So I've got another episode coming up pretty soon about that. So yeah, just again, storytelling is one of the most powerful teaching strategies there is. And I think that we all have amazing stories to tell. So similar to what Derek said, if any of you or anyone listening is like, geez, I would love to be a guest, don't be shy. Tweet me up and we can work it out, because I would love to chat with people who have a story to tell that will encourage other educators.
Absolutely. And again, I will say I listen to Teaching Tales when it comes out. I'm a little behind on podcasts because of Thanksgiving break. I know Canadians, our Thanksgiving break was last week. But I am a little behind, but I'm catching back up. And God, I love that show, Brent. You make me so happy listening to you talk to people. It's just great. I love it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to go to my final other guest, Shauna. Tell us, where can we find you?
Sorry, I started talking with my mic off. I'm on Twitter as at Miss Pollock, M-I-S-S Pollock, at P-O-L-L-O-C-K, like Jackson, the artist. My students and I started podcasting just a couple of weeks ago. We're going to have our fourth podcast this Thursday live from an event that we're helping out at called The Future of Good here in Ottawa. It's on Voice Ed Radio. Thanks for inviting me to join tonight, and thanks everybody for chatting, and thanks Stephen for making this place for all of us, and yeah, great to chat with you guys.
Thank you very much, Shauna. Please check her out. And that leads perfectly to me saying again, thank you, Stephen, for making this place, because you can hear us live on Voice Ed Radio right now, or you're listening to the recorded version on the Planning Period podcast, which is now also available on the Voice Ed Radio network. And it is the place to talk about education worldwide. Voice Ed Radio, your voice. I hope you got something out of that panel. While it was geared towards administrators, I feel like a lot of it is worth considering regardless of your position. And if nothing else, it gives you a look behind the curtain at how administrators think. As always, if you have questions or comments about the show, you can always connect with me on Twitter. I'm at Brad Schreffler. I'd love to hear from you if you're enjoying the show, or even if you hate it, I'd always like to know. That's also a great place to connect if you'd like to be a guest on the show in the future. Until next week, find a chicken suit, a set of heels, and take a walk.